Listening to Louisiana Insider, a superlative guide to a great state's destinations, hosted by Errol Laborde, executive editor of Louisiana Life magazine.
It's our Louisiana song. It's my favorite melody. It's our Louisiana song. Hearing it echo through the cypress tree.
We're talking today about education, particularly early childhood education, which is probably one of the most important topics. In everything that goes on out there in all the civic world, early childhood education is one of the most important topics. And what's different about this is that not only are we talking about the education, but this is education that has a place, a really special place, and that would be the Louisiana Children's Museum. With me is the new CEO, Tiffany White. Hi, Tiffany. I was mentioning before, this is the first time I've met you, but man, you got a good reputation. I mean, everywhere I go, I mean, and so you're well welcomed into the community. Let me talk a little bit about, well, first of all, I mentioned about the Louisiana Children's Museum. And this, if we're lucky, we've got people listening outside of New Orleans and around the state and all this, but people should go and see the place. And the first thing is the one that, yeah, but I can't go because I don't have a kid, okay? You don't need a kid to go in there, right?
You know, everyone wants to come to the Children's Museum. And I know it's hard when folks hear us say, you know, you have to have a child to come in. But that's just so we can keep the families that are in there safe. But we know that community leaders, elected officials, those that are business folks that might be interested in investing in the programming that we do at the museum, we want them to be able to come in. We want them to see the magic that's happening in the building. So if you want to come to the museum and you want to visit and you don't have a child, please, please, please call us and just let us know that you want to come in, you want to see, tell us, you know, who you're with, and we will make accommodations for you to come. We just need to know when you're coming. We'll give you the lay of the land. We'll roll out the red carpet and you'll get a chance to see our beautiful Louisiana Children's Museum.
It's located in City Park. Not far from Christian Brothers Schools, right next to the Sculpture Garden. And what's interesting is that it's on a lagoon. And if you kind of stand back and if you kind of close your eyes and you imagine, it looks like this ship, you know, it's docked alongside the lagoon,
yeah,
which is kind of an imposing sight. See that, you know?
Yes.
Let me tell you a story real quick that you might not know. I was on the City Park Board for 8 years.
Oh, wow.
And that was during the time when the building was being planned. And I can tell you, there were tough times between the Museum Board and City Park Board because City Park Board had the right to approve the final architecture. Uh-huh. And they were very, very demanding. And the poor Museum Board was trying to do the best it could, and they came back and forth. And they even flew in the architects from San Diego,
yeah,
to work on all that. But what ultimately came up with a compromise of a lot of great minds, mm-hmm, that really cared about the park and the design and all this. I think it's really a masterpiece.
It is.
I guess you've seen other children's museums. How would this be like one of the best, you think?
Oh,
visually?
You know, one word that I use to describe this children's museum that I've never used, and I've been to lots of children's museums and science centers. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
This one's beautiful.
Yeah.
And it speaks to what this city feels about and how this city feels about children and families and making sure that children and families have this amazing resource in which they can come a safe place to enjoy, but not just any safe place, this beautiful oasis, basically.
Sure.
In the middle of a park, a beautiful park, big park. You said that.
It's a big one.
Very, very large park.
It's bigger than Central Park.
It is bigger, yeah, than Central Park.
You know, a lot of people, in fact, they may have been kids when, remember, going to the original Children's Museum, which was downtown in the Warehouse District. It wasn't bad. It was just a converted brick something or the other, a warehouse or something, you know, which is good for a warehouse district. But this is a whole different world. This is new construction. It's a new building. And the imagination can just go so many places. Like, there's that deck. You go outside, you can sit in these chairs, you look at the lagoon. Once you got a lagoon, you got people hooked to begin right there, you know?
Yes, yes.
See the birds flying over. And don't they have like a machine that makes clouds or something? Is that still there?
Not clouds. We don't have clouds, but we have a river. We have an area where you can make waves in the water, so you can see erosion and waves. I mean, there's lots going on in that building. And, you know, we talked about beauty. It's not only beautiful, it's also a place that I like to think about children's museums. Sometimes there's so much going on and all these different activities so close together, it doesn't give you time to process and space to process. I feel like you need not only mental space, but you need physical space also to process. Sure. And the way that this building is set up is brilliant. The people that made sure that this was here, our board, our former leader, the architects, the designers, they did an amazing job with making sure that they were intentional, not only in the building of this building being LEED certified and sustainable, but also having activities and places where you can enjoy, and not only enjoy, but process at the same time. So there's ways that children can learn and develop, but they need that processing time in the middle. And that's the piece sometimes that we don't get right. And I think they got that right here in Louisiana Children's Museum.
And they have this, the river. It's like, I guess you say, a recreation, obviously scaled down, of the river.
Yeah.
And you can just walk and see the spots along the Mississippi right there. I mean, that in itself is really worth it.
It's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing. You can see where all the different rivers, like the Tennessee River, intersects the Mississippi River. There are all these license plates around the outside, the exterior of the river. And there are license plates of every state that you go through as you hit the Mississippi River, all the way until you get to New Orleans, Louisiana. And then you're in the port and the Gulf of Mexico. It's pretty amazing.
Now, that's a long time that people live in New Orleans. They could live in New Orleans all their life and barely seen the river because the river is blocked by levees and by warehouses. And it wasn't like this dreamy place where you can go and see the river. So unless you were taking the ferry going across the bridge, I mean, you really rarely saw the river. Now you do. I mean, now they have, you know, the moonwalk and those sort of things, and you do. But to think that you go another step where there's this building you go into and you see a model of the river,
right?
And you just walk along and you see all the places.
Yes, yes. And not just a model, but all the engineering. You know, that river, you the way that New Orleans has to manage the river, right? You know, if there's too much water, then you need to pull that out and it needs to go into the lake. And all those things are there. So those interactives are there. So families can say, you know, too much water. Okay, now we're going to pull this out and this is going to go into the lake and we're going to do this. It's so realistic. The not only the activities and engineering that goes into it, but the ones that lead to different careers that work on the river and that work with water. So we are also exposing children to who they might be as adults, right? All those different careers that are out there.
And they're growing up in New Orleans and knowing there's a river. And,
yeah.
Another thing that surprised me is the cafe. And is it still run by Dickie Brennan?
It is.
Okay, well, I got to tell you, when I first heard, okay, they're opening a cafe in the Children's Museum, and, like, Dickie Brennan wanted to run this thing, I said, why does Dickie Brennan want to be in the Children's Museum? That's like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and macaroni and cheese.
I know it's not.
I know, but that's the image it has, okay?
I know, you're right.
I know, right. And I said, why does he want that? I mean, he's a guy who works steakhouses and all kinds of things like this. But it's really a very imaginative. Well, there are macaroni and cheese and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but there's really imaginative food there.
There is. You know, I think what the Brennans have done with this restaurant is pretty spectacular and is really maybe an anomaly in the field, because typically you go in and you have these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and chicken fingers, right? Mm. Fries.
Yeah.
Well, you go here and you can get these gourmet salads and sandwiches. And my favorite right now is the succotash bowl that has like quinoa and all these vegetables in it, has okra, and it's the best thing ever. It's like, I can't get enough. So it's food that adults can enjoy, as well as food that the children would be attracted to. And they've just elevated the level of that food. So it's not just museum food, right? They've brought it to a different level. And I think that's one of the special things you can get at Louisiana Children's Museum is that good food in Acorn.
I could tell you that in the COVID isolation days, we ate there several times because a lot of places were closed and y'all didn't have the kids' activity during that time, and so it's a good time to go. It's a good time to go there. Now, if you try to go, you might not be able to get in. I mean, it's so crowded.
It is a lot of lines, especially in the summer. But we invite people to come over, and you know, adults oftentimes tell me, "Well, I don't have a child, but you know, I go over there and have a glass of wine." And I'm like, "Yes, have a glass of wine. I'll come and have a glass of wine with you after work, of course."
Yeah. You're a native of New Jersey,
and
you went to school in Charlotte.
In Charlotte,
North Carolina.
Yeah, I went to college in Charlotte.
And then you also went to school in Las Vegas.
I did.
But talk about two different cities, Las Vegas and Charlotte.
I mean, very different.
I mean, to that, and so you've seen the scene in other places. I mean, is what we have in terms of children's enlightenment? I mean, is it as good as anything you've seen anywhere else? Or
you know, this is one of the best children's museums out there. It's definitely the greenest children's museum out there. You know, definitely practices sustainability. The building is LEED certified. The operation of the building takes it into consideration sustainability and how we can be most sustainable. The way the building is built, the architecture is sustainable. I mean, it speaks very highly to sustainability. And that is also one of our impact areas in the museum. So we have the building, that casing, but then we want the education to be there as well. So one of our four impact areas is sustainability. And for a museum to not only have the building and the facilities, but also practice that in the education and the behavior of the staff and the way that they approach sustainability within the organization. You know, we recycle, we try to reuse lots of things when we're doing the art projects in the art studio. We are using reused materials to do that as much as we can. We recycle everything. So the practices are also there with the sustainability. This is, I would say, one of the best, and I know I might be biased at this point because I'm here in New Orleans and I'm all in. So maybe my eyes are a little clouded, but I would say we have one of the best children's museums.
Well, I couldn't imagine a place having a better setting than what you have.
It's beautiful. I mean, first of all, you don't find many museums that have outdoor spaces. You're not going to find museums that are sitting on a lagoon in this beautiful park.
Yeah.
It's just not common as children's museums. So we do have an amazing location and a beautiful building.
And you know, there are a lot of people, and again, I know from my experience being on the board, there are a lot of people that want to build things in the park and have something. I mean, some guys wanted to do an observatory or something like that. And they're very particular about what you have there.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah, they are.
That they really want park-like things that have educational value that they saw. Mm-hmm. And so... And at first, I asked myself the same question. Well, is this right for a park? And the answer's right. What's the kids' most favorite thing?
I would say the beam machine, maybe, and the river.
Okay.
Sometimes they're swimming in the river.
Okay.
They're not supposed to be swimming in the river.
Yeah.
But sometimes we'll see a kid jump in. I mean, and all you can do is say, sweetie, you can't do that.
I mean, they're not just swimming. They're just walking in there.
They're getting in the water. They want to get in that water table.
Yeah.
And we don't encourage that, but sometimes it happens. Yeah. And when it do, you know.
Better that than have to get in the real river. You know?
I know it is better than being in the real river. You're right.
Yeah. Is there a favorite for adults?
Let's see, what do I see adults doing a lot? I would say the art studio. I see a lot of adults engage in making their own art projects. And I would say the outdoor space. So we have, we call it a toddler landscape, but it's for more than toddlers. And it's covered with these beautiful trees. So they're tree covers. It's a lot cooler under those trees than it usually is in the other spaces. And you see adults sometimes sitting out there and allowing the children to kind of interact in the landscape area.
Let's talk about the bigger picture for early childhood education. Is I know this is a huge positive, but are schools doing what need to be done at that level, or do they need more support things like what you have there?
I think that out-of-time learning for children is very important. And we know that most of what is learned is not learned in school. It's learned out of school and out of time activities. So it may be the children's museum, it may be a park, it may be the grocery store, but it's all these other things outside of school. So I think it's our job, the people that are in out of school time, to make sure that that time is filled with activities that are very intentional so that we help and support what's happening inside of schools.
So do you have tie-ins with the schools that they have?
We absolutely do. Those exhibits are correlated to the standards that are happening within the school. So what they're learning in the schools is also being reinforced in the exhibits.
Oh, really?
In the museum. Yes. We're very, very intentional about that. And it's not just the Louisiana Children's Museum. Our whole field is doing that. You know, we look at the school curriculum, if it's the state curriculum or whatever curriculum the schools are using, and we try to tie what we're doing into that, because that justifies the field trips, right? And that also justifies the family visits. So when parents and caregivers bring their children to the museum, they want to know that this is reinforcing something that is important in their lives, and learning that they need this time is being well spent. It's not just a fun place to visit with your families, because we are that. Mm-hmm. We are that. But we are backdooring that education every second. Every second we get.
And I can imagine some of these kids, like you hear it sometimes, like kids from poor areas that they go on a trip and like it's the first time they've ever been out of their neighborhood.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. And then you find out, I mean, there must be some kids who are just totally wowed, okay, that they're out of the neighborhood and they're seeing all of the trees and things that you play with and all that. Yeah. It must really be an enthralling experience.
It is. It is. And, you know, that is probably what is closest to my heart, is when I look at these children that wouldn't normally get an opportunity to come in someplace like the Louisiana Children's Museum, and it's their first visit. And I always say to the staff, you know, no matter how many people come through here and how tired we get, we have to be conscientious that it might be this visitor's first time. Mm-hmm. And we want them to have just as an amazing experience as the first person that walked through here before we were that tired. Mm-hmm. So that should give us that renewed energy to keep the energy going, so that we make sure that every single child, family that enters that building has an amazing experience. That's our role there, and making sure that they enjoy the Louisiana Children's Museum, because we don't know if they will ever be able to come back again. This might be their first and only visit, right? Yeah. We don't know that. So if it's their first and only visit, we want it to be as impactful as possible. If it's not their first and only visit, we want them to come back again.
Sure.
So in order for that to happen, they have to have an amazing time. And so that's our role, is to help facilitate that amazing time.
What do you think was some of the things that really excite a kid that say, wow, I want more of this?
I think anything that allows them to have exposure to something new and different, right? And so one thing about a museum is, a children's museum, is they don't have that at home. That's not on the screens that they're looking at home. It's not on the television. It's not the toys that they have at home and things that parents may buy that they're playing with. This is all different. This is all new. This is all things that they're not being exposed to. And we plan children's museums on purpose that way. Now, we want to make it so that it's similar things at home that parents and caregivers can use to reinforce the experience, but we do it big and bold. And that's because we want them to have that very amazing experience where they're wowed, and then they want to go home and do something that's similar that parents can do with them, or they want to come back again. But we want to make sure that they have that wow experience while they're in our building.
But do you have a lot that may not have a home or may not have parents.
Yes, yes, absolutely. You know, all of our cities, including, you know, New Orleans, has a problem with homelessness. And, you know, we want to make sure that we can get every child in there. We know that every child is not going to be easy feat for us, because there are some children that we probably won't be able to get in there because of things like homelessness and those kinds of things. But we're going to try our best to try to reach those who wouldn't normally have an opportunity and give them that opportunity as well.
But you're really depending on the teachers also to guide them. I mean, your staff can't be teaching all these kids all this.
No.
All the time, that you really need to have some kind of cooperation with the teachers.
We need cooperations with teachers. We need cooperations with caregivers and parents to help through. We need cooperation from older siblings to help them through as well, because our staff, you're right, we don't have enough staff to be able to take care of every single person that walks through the building. We're facilitating those experiences, but we're not a babysitting service where you drop the kids off and leave them. You know, we're expecting for families to engage together, and we're expecting for this to be a experience that families will treasure, and they get to make memories together. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the parents see it and the caregivers see it and they jump in and they make it happen. And sometimes, you know, parents are tired and they're like, you know, I need a break. So we see that in their eyes, and sometimes our staff is, you know, modeling, and they're working with the child. If we see, you know, that a parent, you know, just may need a second to kind of turn and, you know, a second to sit there, then we're engaging while they're doing that and then allowing them to engage again. Because parents have a lot on their plates today. You know, it's a lot that the family goes through, and, you know, it's a lot that they're thinking about. And we're just excited that they took the time to bring them there. And when they get them in the building, we want it to be respite for them, too.
But do most of the kids go there, like, with their family, or as part of, like, a school tour or a school group?
So we have most of the visitors that we get are with families. We do get school audience that are coming through field trips, but the numbers of field trips and the numbers of families are a little bit different. Field trips, obviously, they, you know, have to get a bus. They have to make time in the school day. They have to worry about testing and, you know, all the things to make time for that field trip to happen. And if they do, that's why we correlate to the standards, because we want them to feel like this is time well spent. And they can justify that field trip, because it's a lot to get there. But most of our visitors come through family groups.
I remember the first time that I went to the Sculpture Garden, which I was wide-eyed with. But I remember, as I was going around, there was this family, and I remember hearing this kid whining, and he was saying, "But Mom, I don't want to leave yet." And I was thinking, well, this is a great sign, okay?
Yeah.
A kid in an art sculpture garden is complaining about having to leave, you know? So.
That's not a bad thing.
No,
you take on any day, right?
Yeah.
You know, I often tell people, you know, there's always smiles at the Children's Museum, smiles all around at the Children's Museum until it's time to go.
Yeah.
And then that's when we get the tears. And I look at those tears as another happy customer. Because if they weren't excited to be here, they wouldn't be crying because they're leaving, right? Yeah. And so, you know, parents are trying to get them out of there, and they're yelling and screaming, but pulling them to the car, and that says that, you know, we've done our jobs.
At least how much time should be allotted for a visit?
You know, you're talking to the wrong person, because I want you to be there all day. But I would say a couple of hours. You should definitely allow at least 2 hours, right? And then if you want to stay all day, I say stay all day. You know, make good use of the admission that you've paid to get in there, or your membership that you've used to get in there. But I would say at least 2 hours.
You know, when the museum first opened, I saw that beautiful deck area that you have, people can sit. It made me think that somehow at some point they need to get a boat out there. I mean, something that kids can get on the boat and call it a boat and lagoon. Is there a plan for that?
So, you know, Errol, nice you would mention that.
What?
Because we have something called a floating classroom. And the floating classroom allows us to have class in the middle of the lagoon.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, so there's a floating classroom that goes out into the middle of the lagoon. And then we have this class out there. And what I love about that opportunity to be able to have a class in the middle of the lagoon is that it's different every time. Mm-hmm. Because it depends on what the weather is that day. It depends on what nature wants to stop in, you know, what birds wants to pop in and what turtles want to swim by and, you know, all the things, all the nature that's out there. So it's different each time, just depending upon who wants to stop by.
Well, I can imagine if a pelican would pass. I think the pelicans, like, one of the coolest looking birds there is, you know.
No, they are cool looking birds.
Especially the big ones, you know. Yes. And if they die for a fish or something, I mean, yeah, that'd be an exciting experience.
Absolutely. You know, Errol, you asked me a question earlier, and it just dawned on me what you might have been talking about. So you said clouds and fog. There's an exhibit outside that's on the bridge. Was that what you were talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there is.
Or maybe I was in the fog, okay? Yeah.
Maybe you weren't in the fog. Maybe it was me that was in the fog. So on the bridge, there is this exhibition. It's actually an art installation, and it's fog that comes out of there. Okay. And that happens every 30 minutes.
Okay, yeah. That's
and it. So that fog happens, and it depends on the weather and the conditions, what happens with the fog. So it may settle on the lagoon and just sit there. It may blow away as you're coming through it. It just depends on what the weather conditions are that day. But yes, there is cloud and fog. And actually, that's one, I think, of the best parts of the museum, because it gets you excited before you even walk in the door.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm walking through
this
fog.
You did that for me first time I saw it. Wow, fog.
Yes, yes, yes. It's good stuff. So I apologize. I was just thinking about the floating classroom, and I'm like, you know what? There is fog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, just getting back to the sculpture garden for a second, because I think that's really magic, having those two together.
Yeah.
And so if a family goes and if they start off by walking through the sculpture garden, and as we've seen, kids don't get bored in that sculpture garden because even if they're not interested in the sculpture, there's all the little bridges and walkways and different things. And so it can really hold the kids' interest. And so to do the sculpture garden and then to go to the Children's Museum or vice versa, that's really a great full day right there.
It is. It is a great full day. And that's what I love about the museum's location and where it is in City Park, is that a family really can make a day of it, right? They can come to the museum, go out and have a picnic in the park, and then come back to the museum. Or they can go to the museum, have a picnic in the park, and then go to the sculpture garden, or vice versa. There's a lot that can be done in a day with the family if they want to do a diversity of things.
Can they go out and out the same ticket? Or do
they can come back, yes. So you can leave and come back again. If you've paid admission for that day, then you are able to come in the whole day, in and out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the capacity?
So I would say, when I think about capacity, I don't think about fire code, because if I think about fire code capacity, then visitors won't have a good time. Uh-huh. So I like to think about capacity in, we get people in there, everybody's able to still have a great experience. They can get to the exhibitions and it feels good in the building. And I would say about 650 to 700 people in the building at any one given time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that may flip over in a day. So we may have 1,100, 1,200 people.
Really, that many, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a busy day for us. That's a really busy day if we have 1,100, 1,200 people. And some people may be, depending upon the weather, they may be outdoors. Mm-hmm. So they may spend time in the edible garden. They may be in the toddler landscape. They may be over by the lagoon on where the floating classroom is. So you can spend time indoor, outdoor. They may be on the lawn. Just, we have some interactives. It's called Imagination Playground. There are these big blue pieces that you can build with and engineer with. So we have those outdoors, and you can do that outside. We often have, you know, my office overlooks the a green area that's right in the middle of the museum, in the center kind of the play building and our administration building. And when I look down, I see families running. I see them, you know, racing across the green. I see them playing tag with each other. I see, you know, older, like, parents picking up children and swinging them around. So they're having even their own fun that's unrelated to the museum, but because they're in this beautiful space, it encourages them to have time together and spend time together.
I can imagine it does. If one of our listeners would say, man, I like this lady here, okay? Okay. And I got lots of money. I'm going to call and I'm going to donate $1 million to the museum.
I want to talk to that person.
But it's got to be for something new
okay.
for the museum, okay? And it's your discretion.
Okay.
Okay. So what would that be?
I would say I would take that $1 million and as much as possible, I would use it towards access for families that would not be able to come to the museum.
Okay.
So I think that's important.
It's like ramps and elevators and
So not necessarily ramps and elevators, but there are children out there that can't afford to come, families can't afford to come
okay.
because they don't have the money.
Okay.
Or maybe they don't have transportation. Or, you know, I want to take all those barriers away so that we can get those families into the museum and they can attend the museum and they can use this as a resource just like any other family. So I would say some of it we use for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we can take some of it and go the other way with access. You know, right now we're birth to third grade. And I really feel like there's opportunity past third grade. So mm-hmm. what does that look like? And I think I would take the rest of it and invest it in what that looks like. So mm-hmm. how can we put exhibits there that children that are upper elementary, middle school, into high school would be interested in?
Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be a hard sell. I mean, the kids at that age. You
know? No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. I think the building definitely sells itself, but we want to definitely have activities and exhibits that are age appropriate. And I think, you know, additional funding can help us to do that. So you know this person with the $1 million, Errol?
Yeah. I do, but I'm not going to tell you. Okay.
You're keeping it a secret. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to have to call. Okay. Well, this has been delightful. Thank you. Yeah, I thought off the thing, everybody I've talked to, that's how great you are. I see why. I mean you're a great personality. Anything else we need to know?
So I want to tell you about a couple of things that are
okay. Go ahead.
So we have a countdown. It's I call it Countdown to Kindergarten because that's what I'm used to, but it's actually called Kindergarten Kickoff.
Okay.
And that's happening on Friday, this Friday. It's a free event. You just have to register, and you can register on our website, lcm.org. And that event is really to help with the anxiety around going to kindergarten for the first time. And it's for the parents and for the children. Okay. So they get to come in, and they do activities that they're going to be doing and things that they'll be learning the year. So they'll get a glimpse of what those things look like. They'll get to see what a school bus looks like, and if they have to ride the school bus, they'll be able to get on and off. We have lots of folks that are supporting that event. The public schools are supporting that event, and we have teachers that will be there to help them with some of those activities. They'll get to see what it's like to pick up their food from the cafeteria, mm-hmm. so they'll have activities that help them with that. So it really is to bring down that anxiety and allow them to see what it might feel like to go into kindergarten for the first time.
Mm.
We also have an in-dialogue series.
Now, this could be an annual thing?
I would love for this to be an annual thing. This is our inaugural.
Okay.
And then we'll see how it goes. I know it's going to go well. And then we'll be doing it again next year. We would love to do this every year for those kindergartners that are coming up and their families. We also have an in-dialogue, speaking of, you know, transitioning into kindergarten, we have an in-dialogue series that's for parents, and that basically is a webinar that allows them to be able to ask questions of an expert and have conversations and learn more about a topic. And this month's topic is transitions. You know, just like we're transitioning into kindergarten and transitioning back to school. So that's going to be on Tuesday the 8th. And you can also find out about that on our website. And then this year, I'm so excited about this one, Errol. This will be my first Cherish Gala. It's the 25th gala for the museum. So year 25, I think that's a great milestone. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be celebrating and honoring the past, but we will be imagining what the future looks like. Yeah. So that's on September 23rd. And you can also get information about that on our website.
Okay. And you probably have a pretty good base of members.
Yes, we do. We have a great base of members. We have, and we really, really appreciate those members because, you know, supporting the museum in that way helps us to be able to keep the museum sustainable. You know, membership is one of the ways that we earn money that it takes to keep the museum doors open. Mm. Admissions is another. Our camps is another. Our Cherish Gala helps us to bring in contributed revenue to do that. We have to keep the place sustainable and the doors open. So we have a business that helps us to do that. And membership is part of that. Mm-hmm. So we love our members.
You know, if I may share a personal memory here, the I mentioned earlier Christian Brothers School is nearby. Well, before that was Christian Brothers School, early, a long time ago, was a school called Sam Bart School. It was like a grade school, private school. And that's where I went to school. Started that they had pre-primer. So I started in pre-primer.
Pre-primer.
And we took buses. I mean, we rode the bus, so we went in there. But I remember my first hour in pre-primer at Sam Bart, that they had this big jug, and everybody had to bring, like, a quarter free milk money, okay? Oh. And you put the quarter in there, and then the instructor says, okay, this is free milk money. If we see anybody taking any money that's not theirs, you know what happens? What? You get paddling. And that was, man, that was my first hardball message from life. I said, hey, man, this life stuff is getting serious
I
here.
I know, okay. Pre-primer.
I mean, I'm just in pre-primer to talk about a paddling, you know?
That's hard.
I suspect you don't want to do that.
We don't paddle the kids.
So anyway. Well, to this day, I've never stolen milk money.
Oh, yeah, because you got that lesson.
Yeah. So I got the message. Okay.
Yeah, that's a hard lesson to learn in pre-primer.
Anyway, thank you very much. It's been delightful.
Thank you so much, Errol. I am so happy to be here. Okay.
Thanks for listening to Louisiana Insider. Subscribe, like, and rate our show where you listen to your podcasts, and follow us on social media at Louisiana Life Mag. Executive producer for Louisiana Insider is Kelly Massico, in cooperation with Louisiana Life Magazine. For subscription information to Louisiana Life, call 504-828-1380. Our theme music was provided by Rich Collins. Hey, that's me. Join us again next week for more discoveries inside Louisiana.